for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Saturday evening service of July the 3rd, 1988, tape number 1. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jerry Garner is the teacher for the evening.
Whatever the Lord gives you for a little while, to just to greet us this evening and the word of the Lord, whatever she has, and it always flows. It's always flowing.
Hallelujah. Well, glory. It is so good to be here. We have looked forward to being back to Lake Hamilton since we were here, what, a month and a half, 2 months ago. Just good to see all of the faces that we met before and many new ones tonight. We praise the Lord for it. We have come to deal with ourselves, haven't we? You know, the only person that you can change is you. And it's not something that you do one day and you neglect the next. It is an ongoing, day-by-day separation from the world. The Lord Jesus in your midst to do you good, calling forth His love and wisdom in this hour when the world is waxing worse and it looks like in some places the enemy is winning, but we know that the intention of God the Father was to fully equip us for this very hour. We are the generation that'll bring the body in. I call us the foot company, and the heat's on the feet. Right. The refining process is going on in the midst of us. And I am reminded that the work that we must be what we say we are. See, so many times past, the body of Christ has longed to approach that place of perfection. And because of lack of knowledge of who they were in Christ Jesus, we have seen people up and down and this way and that, and lacking victory in their life. But in this end time hour, as judgment is upon us and the right of judgment has been given to us through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have the right, the name of Jesus in our mouth, and in His name we judge ourselves by the pattern and the image of Himself, Jesus. Hallelujah. So when we begin to flow in God, if you have your Bible, I want to share just a little bit with you tonight. In Isaiah, the 4th chapter, and then in Matthew 23, and, well, we'll finish up in Ephesians. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. And in that day, it says that 7 women shall take hold of one man, saying, "We shall eat our own bread and provide our own apparel. Only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach of being unmarried." And in that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land shall be excellent and lovely to those who have escaped of Israel. Now I want to just have you put your spiritual glasses on and let's talk about what the Lord is saying here to you and I spiritually. It's like in this hour the fullness of the flesh is being revealed. We are seeing, like the principle of 7 women taking hold of one man. 7 is the number of fullness and the experience of bringing forth according to their kind. See, they want everything that they can do themselves to be let alone. But they don't want to be reproached because they don't have a name. Now, the body of Christ has a name, and that name is Jesus. And you and I are his handiwork, his blessing, his heirs in this hour. And as the fullness of the flesh is being revealed in this earth, we are seeing that principle of dominance everywhere around us. It's as if all hell has broken loose in this hour. Everything that was balanced, that we were taught, it's like there is no balance. There is no place where we are settled in peace until we look to ourselves and deal with our flesh. When that flesh man is revealed, when the cup is bumped, beloved, what pours out of it is going to be exposed by what's in it. See, now, we've all come from all parts of the nation. Some of us have come expecting, hallelujah, to be set free from areas that have been bondages in our life for as long as we can remember. Others have come because they have come in the excitement to learn and to know more of what God is saying in this hour when that which is perfect is about to be revealed. You see, His intention was to bless us. His intention is to fully equip us. With the areas of our flesh that are controlling in our lives at this point, we cannot function in the equipment of the Holy Ghost because things that are powerful, the struggle of the flesh, there's a war going on in the midst of us, and we must begin to realize that the mind of man is the prize that Satan is seeking, and if when he can take the mind, he can produce his grotesque image in the body, and we are seeing him come in like a flood, and we have been crying and sighing at the altar and saying, Lord God, we must know more. We must understand your word. We must know what you are saying. Let us, oh Lord God, know that the equipment of the Holy Spirit is in the midst of your body, and let your body be healed and restored and not stand as a reproach in this earth. And let the world look and see the transparency, the image of Jesus Christ in this container, and let it glow and shine forth like the burnished bronze of the feet that were exposed in John the Revelator's vision as he saw the glory of the Lord and the image of the pattern revealed. Beloved, the pattern is being shown forth to you and I. He's brought you out to bring you in. The only person, like I said, that you can change is you. In this hour, the branch of the Lord is beautiful. We tell you, when a person is set free, the glory of the Lord fills his tabernacle. Hallelujah. In that day, see, when it looks as though the fullness of the flesh is going to be in control in the earth, and the fruit of the land, see, what this tree of life is putting forth, the fruit of the land shall be excellent and lovely to those who have escaped of Israel. And he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem shall be called holy. Zion is the highest mountain of Jerusalem in the natural. It was the home of the Jebusites in the natural. The Jebusites were the winnowers. Jeru means threshing floor, and Salem means peace. And Jesus Christ is the king of the mountain, and he, the winnowing fan, is in his hand, and he is purging his threshing floor. And we are a threshing floor people. And he who is left in Zion, beloved, the sickle has been put to the wheat, and the threshing floor is exposing the darnel, that which is not of God. And we are here in this hour to deal with ourselves so that which is not is not of God might be revealed, cast out, so that we can contain the word of glory. Hallelujah. See? And he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem shall be called holy, every one who is recorded for life in Jerusalem and for eternal life. And that means to know God. After the Lord has washed away the moral filth of the daughters of Zion. Please note that that's us. And please note that the authority of the Lord God has been given unto us. You see, all that is pride and vanity and haughtiness shall have purged the bloodstains of Jerusalem from the midst of it by the Spirit and the blast of judgment, and by the Spirit and the blast of burning and sifting. And the Lord is showing forth out of Zion the power of judgment. See, judgment is in your hand. You judge yourself. It is deliverance. You recognize, you examine the things in your life that need to be examined. And in the name of Jesus, you bind the curses of bloodline, ancestry, weaknesses, sorceries, divinations, whatever it is and wherever you find it, you bind it and you command it to loose you. You break the curses that have been visited to your generation. Things that have transpired in the past that you have had no knowledge of. But through the generations, the curses have been levied because the people have not known the Word of God and who they are through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, Matthew 23 in the 25th verse says, Jesus was speaking, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees," that's the church, see, "pretenders." And I see the church in a place of pretense. She has been pretending that everything is all right. But in the midst of her, there is war, there is hurt, there is pain, there is emotional imbalance, there is unstableness, there is diseased body, sickness, weaknesses, and out of her comes a cry of anguish and travail. And it is time that the body of Christ begin to understand that the power that was vested to you through salvation made you an heir and equipped you through the blood of Christ Jesus to sit in His throne. And in His throne there is nothing but His power and His completeness and His perfection. And so, what has to change? We do. Now, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, pretenders, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion, prey, spoil, plunder, and grasping self-indulgence. You see, in this final hour, as God is equipping you and I and has called us out of darkness into light, there will be nothing in us that has to be tested. We will pass the test. We will not have any false appearance. We will be what we say we are. And when you stand before a man that the Lord has sent you to help, you command in the name of Jesus, and that man is delivered, because there is nothing that the enemy can put in doubt and unbelief, because you have been delivered. And the word of the Lord that's in your mouth is what is coming out of your cup. And you are not weak, and you are not slack, and you are not bound in the thoughts of a fleshly mind that wants its way. Your desires, your attitude is to seek the Lord and to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. His minister. Hallelujah. Declaring the kingdom. He said, "Oh, you blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup. That's what we're here for this weekend. No big eyes, no little yous. Nobody more special than you. You are the apple of your Father's eye. We come in total honesty. That's the requirement for deliverance. We command our being to the attention of the Lord our God. We stand like a man naked before Him, not holding anything back. We ask Him to be in us all that He wants to be. We're going to clean the cup this week. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The fullness of the flesh will not be found here. We'll leave this place and go to the separate places across the nation. And we'll set creation free. Beloved, the body must understand. We're not pretenders. We are not hypocrites. We are not here to stroke one another. Oh, how good you are. We are here to deal in honesty and truth and to be delivered from the faults of death, because that's where it all is. It's all in the death realm. And you have been called into life. And the Lord wants you to know that as a child of life and light, you shall live with Him. Hallelujah. And He's living fine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, we'll not stand and pretend it's all okay. We're going to stand in the glory of His Word because it is okay. And that word in your mouth is a two-edged sword. And you can help your brother and sister because you have met Him. And you have looked in the cup. And you have poured out before Him. And He will fill you up. Now, we're going to clean the inside of the cup. And we're going to wipe off the plate. Now, what does the plate do? It makes a foundation so the cup won't jar around when it's being traumatized and moving. A little southern there. Traumatized and moving. See, the plate holds the cup and helps you to balance it so that it doesn't spill. Okay? We're going to go right down to the foundation of our ancestral bondages, the things that have transpired in generations past. We're going to forgive our ancestors. We're going to command our being to the Lord Jesus Christ and command every bruise of death that has been visited to us for the generations past. And like the plate, we're going to wipe it clean. We'll break every curse that has bound us in the death realm so that we can walk in the glory of the Word. Hallelujah. And support the anointing. Glory to God. And when you get to that place where you are to minister, you can pour that cup out. Hallelujah. And all that there is Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that the outside may be clean also. And when the world looks at you, they're going to see Jesus. All these attributes of the image of man that has transpired and brought us in this Adamic order will be swallowed up in the victory of the light of Jesus Christ, the Word. Hallelujah. And I'm going to give it to you. One more thing. Ephesians, 4th chapter, 12th verse. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints. No lack, no limitation. That when you speak the word of the Lord, the enemy has to leave. He cannot remain. His intention was to perfectly equip you, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church. See, the body is sick. She is dying with wounds in her flesh. She doesn't even know that they're there for the most part, only the hurt and the travail and the anguish. How did I get this way? How come I'm sick? How come the things that I never win? Why am I always up one day and depressed the next? What is going on? You see, God intended to equip you and I so that we can know the truth, because the truth set you free. See, the name of Jesus is in your mouth. And the enemy has to obey that name. Hallelujah. He cannot stay, see. Now, as the mixture is there within us, we are weak. Anybody knows that when a thing is diluted, when the mixture is diluted, it's not going to be as strong as it would be if there were only one strain there, see. So the mixture has got to get out of us. The death realm, the things that have been visited to us, and the work of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, reveals you to you. If any man lack wisdom, the Word says, let him ask of God. His intention was to fully equip us. He's not going to set you up to fail. He doesn't allow a crisis in your life until you're ready to graduate and to pass the test. And when it comes, beloved, in that expectation, because the zero factor compels God to act in your behalf, the covenant's ratified, you ought to begin to laugh at that zero factor. Because that tells you the next thing on God's scene in your life is deliverance, is protection, is glory, is blessing, because God's covenant is forever, an everlasting covenant to you and I. It's not weakened by any kind of mixture. And when we get the junk out of us, I just call it what it is, then we can know that the power of the Word of the living God in the midst of us sets captivity free. Yea, we too shall know the fullness of life now. That it might develop, see, this perfection now might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension, see, of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, see. Now, some of us have a little knowledge. In fact, I've seen some people with a little knowledge, and they were pure dangerous. You know, that's right. You know, my friend Bob Mumford said that every Christian that got the baptism of the Holy Spirit ought to be put in a cage for about 6 months because they didn't know, you know, the fullness or the authority or the power of God in their life. And I tend to agree with him. However, I was not a caged one. And I had many lessons to learn. And God doesn't fire you when you make a mistake. Hallelujah. He forgives you. Praise the Lord. See, so we're developing. You're here because it's time to go on in. It's time to come up higher. It's time to fling away the things of the world. It's time to be single-eyed before the Lord and not allow the things of this life to pull you into bondage of your flesh, the death realm. It's time to walk as a life people in a life expectancy that is forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, so we're all developing. And what's wrong with me may not be wrong with you. You may be victorious there. And so, we are here as a body to help each other. Hallelujah. And we're going to leave here a new creation. Hallelujah. So that we might attain oneness. See, right now, this many-membered body can't fit together because there's a retardation in the midst of us. A limitation of knowledge. Not understanding and knowing who we really are in Christ Jesus. And as we are delivered, and as we are set free, we are healed, restored, repaired, made ready to be made one in Him now. So that we all might attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and the accurate knowledge of the Son of God. And that we might arrive at really matured manhood, see. Not a bunch of kids going around trying to act big and do what Daddy did. But manhood, maturity, no hard things, all power and authority is given unto us. We are the dwelling place of the Most High God. We are the tabernacle of His presence. Zechariah 6 says that he, Jesus, the branch, the Messiah, is building the true tabernacle. And that's you and I. And he is joining us together in the glory of his perfection. We're arriving at really matured manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ and the completeness found in him. You and I have been called a generation to bring the body in. He's closing this day of grace. He's ushering in his millennial purpose. And as the age of grace is ripe for disappearing, and the age of millennial ripe for the appearing, God has a man-child. His name is Jesus. And he's in this earth. And you and I are a part of that body. In the natural, can't conceive it. Can't imagine it. That's why he birthed your spirit. And he wrote his word in the spirit. So that in the spirit man, in that spirit, heaven spirit place, that heaven place of knowledge, wisdom, himself, that we might all attain that mature fullness to stand in the perfection of truth and set creation free. So let's look at the heat that's on the feet. See? Let's deal with ourselves. And let's look at the pattern. The burnished bronze. You know what bronze means? It's judgment. See? The heat's on the feet. Time to judge yourself. Let's deal with ourselves so that we can bring this body in. I don't find anywhere in the Word that the priest wore sandals. He went barefoot before the Lord. Beloved, God is calling barefooted ministers. You're only going to know what you're standing in. Judgment. Judged where you stand. And there's no lack that you might arrive at that really mature place. Hallelujah. And that's nothing less than the standard, see? That's the only normal, natural thing that we can do is be like Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's the way it is. Glory to God. So praise the Lord and thank you, Lord, for this allotted time to seek your face, to pray for one another, to hold nothing back. Let's let the glory fall. Let's let the fire fall. Let's let the wind of the Holy Ghost blow through this place and let us see the Shekinah glory on each other's face. Hallelujah. Not looking out there, but looking in here. Hallelujah. Let's see the glory of God fill this earth. And everybody said, amen.
This is going to be an extraordinary night, weekend, week. Some of y'all are going to go home healed and delivered in Christ. I want to show Blanche, just so she'll know, my sermon is in yellow. It's in Isaiah, 4th chapter. We go to bed early tonight, y'all. I do have a P.S. Her spirit, okay? A couple of things I have to do first, the Lord told me to do. I'm going to do this before I forget, Glenn, okay? The Lord told me a while ago to tell you that you have read with your own eyes, you have heard with your own ears, that there were mockers and scoffers and accusers in his day. And you can be assured that they will be in your day. And they have already come. And many more will come. If you will stand still and defend not yourself, he'll be your defender. He shall speak for you. If you try to defend yourself, God is not your defender. If you try to heal yourself, God is not your healer. If you try to provide for yourself, he's not your provider. because you've taken it out of His hands and put it in your hands. So whatever you've been trying, lay it down and go with God. Blanche, I got to tell you. Okay. There's seven people, one man and six men, dressed very nicely, very, very elevated. You're going to be brought before them, and you're going to want to say, but they know more than I do. They dress better than I do. They have more money than I do. They're wiser than I am. But God said, I brought you. I'll speak. Just hold your peace. It's coming up. And He's going to tell you what to say. He's going to use the simple or whatever to confound the wisdom of the wise in this hour. So whatever state you find yourself in, be content. And I'm not talking about Arkansas or Texas. Whatever state that you find yourself in, be content. Serve God where you are. If it's changing poo-poo diapers and carrying out the garbage, do it like you're doing unto God. And you'll be rewarded where you are, not where someone thinks you should be. Okay? Young people, I have three teenage boys, and it is a constant concern of theirs, their dad preaching what he's preaching about what's fixing to happen. I'm trying to inform, and they would have naturally adopted the idea of, well, what am I living for? My life is ahead of me, but what do I have to look forward to? I tell you, you have a whole lot to look forward to. This is the most exciting time to be alive and be a young person. You have eternity. Don't worry about the bomb or the plague or the government. Okay? You have an advocate with the Father. I have no earthly idea what we're going to do. But I'm going to go over here and I'm going to find a scripture that the Lord gave me. He's going to deal with some of y'all on a very personal level in just a little bit. We're going to have a line here, I'm sure, that's going to show up for healing. Because the Lord's already told me. There's someone here with a hip problem. That's a deformity or a surgery or whatever. He's going to fix that. There's somebody here with a spur on their left foot, heel, back of the back. He's going to fix that. There's somebody that's been having a pain in their side. They think it's a heart attack, and it's not. Okay? It's not a chest. It's a chest pain, but it's not a heart attack. God's going to fix that. There's some guy here with a weak right knee, and He's going to fix that. And there's somebody hurting in the middle of their back up here. Okay? God's going to... To what measure you're able to receive, you're going to receive. Okay? From the Holy Spirit. Okay. Just because I have to. If I want to see. Okay. I have a scripture for you. I really didn't... It's not that I didn't want to come up here. It's that then after Irma and Glenn call me. And by the way, thank you. I'm already at home. I really appreciate the invitation. The night they called me and asked me to come up here, and I just gotten in that night from McAllen, Texas, in a meeting, and my wife said, I think they want you to come up there. I said, oh, my flesh said, oh, no, go, not now. But the next morning, by the time I got up, the Lord said, you go, and I'm going to tell you what to say when we get there. He's real concerned about the sons and daughters of His kingdom. There's a lot of us under bondage to be a son and be in the kingdom. Our Heavenly Father is not a father of bondage. If you're in Christ Jesus, you have liberty from all things. So three of you husbands that came in here tonight, and the Lord told me yesterday you were coming. You came for confirmation. You've been listening to your wife, and she's believing and praying for you, and you're waiting for confirmation. God, if this is really true, show me. He's going to show you while you're here. 1 John 3, by the way, I testify not of myself, but of Him who sent me, lest any man boast. 1 John 3, verse 2. This is fixing to break a chain of bondage off everyone who thinks that they're not who they're supposed to be. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. You don't have to do anything except be obedient to His Spirit. What did He say the keys of the kingdom were when He gave them to the disciples? He said, I give with you the keys of the kingdom. I leave them with you. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and then follow me. Do like I do. So simple. Man has taken the Word of God and made it so complicated. Trying to figure out God. And God is probably having a very good time saying, well, look at them now. Look what they think now. The sons of God... All creation is moaning and groaning right now. And I got so excited that I met this lady. I was trying to counsel with her. And I let loose. I had to get up and walk around it and stomp the floor and say, do you know what's going on right now in the world? All creation is moaning and groaning. Every angel in heaven is looking down here. Satan is looking expectantly. Why? Because the sons of God are about to be made manifest. And Satan knows his time is short. And it's not what you and I do in the flesh that determines it. Okay? It's all in the Spirit. Okay, we're going to go over to Revelations chapter 15. It's going to take one verse. Y'all get excited. You better, anyway. Because when Christ is revealed, we're going to be like him. Okay? So fret not. Concern yourself not what you'll be. Have no anxiety. Anxiety and the fear of the life of a Christian are ammunition against him. I am fearful for nothing. I have nothing the world can take away from me that I'm fearful of. Satan can't accuse me with anything. Because God's got all I have. I don't need anything else. I have three teenage sons and a lovely little thin redheaded wife that I really wish was here with me. But they had other things to do, and I've got one in summer school and one working and one going. So, and our 21st anniversary was 2 days ago. But anyway, that's personal. I'm glad to be where God wants me. Revelation 15, verse 2. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory, number one, over the beast, number two, over his image, number three, and over his mark, and in my translation, number four, over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. That is a picture of the overcomers, the bride of Christ, the man-child. Whatever you want to call yourself, barefoot or whatever it be, they have had, if you notice, who have the victory already. Jesus Christ is returning for a bride who has made herself ready. He's not coming for a young girl sitting on the pew with a hope chest, hoping, okay? He is coming for a bride who has her dress on. She is dressed, and she is ready to go, ready at his beck and call. They have already had the victory over the beast. And I don't know one place in this country better equipped to help you have victory over the beast than this place right here. Because this beast in the Greek means foul spirits. Beast, wild, ravenous beast of the field. Every foul spirit. There's a book, well, there's tons of books back there. But the one I like to put out is Mary Garrison's book on how to try a spirit. It tells you how to identify them and how to deal with them. If you are a Christian, you are to have already had victory over the beast when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gets here. Okay? And over his image. What is his image in us? The flesh man. If we're not in the image of God, we're in the image of Satan. We're born in that image. When the children of Israel went into the promised land, God says, now go in and possess the land, and little by little I'm going to drive out the ites. Right? Everybody knows about the ites? There's seven of the strong men ites that are in the land. All right? Hittites, Amorites, Jebusites, Girgashites, all this. If you'll take those names and study those in the Hebrew, in order, you're going to see a seven-man flesh man. Seven parts of your nature that you are born with, that you develop to some degree. Some of us are not so bad in some areas, and some of us, depending on our, as an old friend of mine likes to say, your raisins. If you can ever get over your raisins, you might get somewhere, boy. I said, I know it. That's my old flesh man. He's got to die. But anyway, those who have had the victory over his image, and that is your flesh man. Tonight at dinner, Blanche and I were talking, I remind her about when Jesus Christ was crucified, there were two forms of punishment by the Romans. One by crucifixion on a cross or a tree. Other one was the old dead man. They would take a dead corpse and gut it, pull the bones out. This is gross, but it really happened. And strap it to a live person with cords, round and around and around and around and around. Now, that was a slow death and a miserable, agonizing death because that decaying body was strapped to you night and day whenever you went. Its dead flesh would begin to eat your flesh, and you would soon perish. Now, Paul said, I strip off that old dead man, that old dead flesh, daily. Now, baptism in the Holy Spirit, baptizing in the water, going with Christ, having the seed in you, cuts the cords of iniquity in your life. The cords are cut, but the old man's still there, the old flesh man. If you're not walking in resurrection, power, and newness of life, then you've got a dead man following you around, and you got to start pulling him off. You got to begin to deny yourself. Well, I have the right to get mad because she's an old busybody. Well, I have the right to get mad. He pulled that in my lane. I've never seen so many real Christians on the freeway. They'll run over you. You want to know where somebody is in Christ? Ride with them somewhere.
I mean, seriously, y'all? We laugh about it, but it's real. It comes out. The real man is going to be revealed. Blanche, that was... never mind. That was great. Over his mark. What is the mark? Talks about the mark of the beast. It's in your forehead or in your hand. Spiritually speaking, it's your mindset and the works of your hand. You'll be known by what you think or what you do. But the Christians have had victory over his mark. They've had victory over their works have been judged. They have victory over their own mind. They don't have to know everything to come into Christ. They don't have to dot every single little I and cross every T and understand everything. If you approach the Word of God like, I have got to know everything, God, dump it on me, you're going to be very, very, very upset at God. You will not be able to figure him out. I can guarantee it. You got to go in like a child. And when you get to the point where you finally say, I don't know nothing, the Holy Spirit is going to lead you into all understanding. Do yourself a favor and relax. And over the number of his name, that in the Greek is erismos, arithmetic, add up, number, quite frankly stands for the harlot church. You're going to have victory over a harlot church system. And I know what people do with all these things in the Greeks, the numbers, and da-da-da, and this adds up to the Pope's name. And I don't worry about those things. I worry about Jerry Garner. Amen. I don't worry about you. You know, Glenn talked about this evening about if you're going to have private counseling come down here, I endorse that totally, because there are four measures of order that God has ordained and set up, and that is, I have a measure of order over this body. I'm responsible for it. I'm a husband over a wife and three children right now. I have a measure of order over my family. I'm a spiritual leader, and I'm responsible. There is a measure of order here in this building, in this place. Glenn is anointed to do that. There is a measure of order. If you're operating within the measure of order at this place, God looks to Glenn. What are you going to do? That's it. He looks to you. I can't come and tell you, now look, your body's, that's not my place. You come to me, I pray with you, I intercede, we go to God together. I can't tell somebody else what to do. If we would all stop trying to tell each other and judge each other about you not living your life right, you better keep your nose on your side of the fence and work on this body. Because if you're not, you're going to be deceived, y'all. We ain't got that long. We're already in the last hour, okay? I'm getting excited again. Okay, I'm going to calm down in a minute. Standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. Now, I used to work in surgery, and I was a scrub technician for several years as a first assistant, and I was praying about this one night, and for years I had read this, and I thought it said having harps of gold. Now, wait a minute. I used to sit on a pew, and I heard about a home in glory with emeralds and gold on the street and harps of God, you know, all kinds of stuff. Wow, I got so excited. And I come to find out this is a harp of God. It's not a harp of gold. Wait a minute, God, where's the gold? He said, having harps of God. You know, if you took a man's or a person's chest and took just the bones and compressed it, you'd have a harp. Now, I was praying one time, and the Lord says, look, harps of God, when those people are made manifest, their very life's blood, their very breath are harps of God. Everything that you are, everything that you hope to be, everything that you ever thought about being belongs to God. And you're sold out to God. And you have harps of God. Yes. I know it's stretching, but I mean, you know, I've got a big God. I mean, you know, ask and you'll receive. I've got to go over here to Colossians and Ephesians and read you something. Ephesians 3:10. I was driving, but my wife was driving our van and I was bouncing around the back seat. We had a preaching thing done in Palacios, Texas. And I had to be back at our church by 3:00. By the way, we meet at 3:00, so we're called a cult. I don't care. It just happened to be a convenient hour for us. We meet at 3:00 on Sunday afternoon. Who knows when the Sabbath is anyway? Maybe on Thursday. I don't care. Every day's a Sabbath to me. I'm a Sabbath keeper. And y'all, for 5 years, men have tried to stick little labels all over me. You know, everywhere I go. Oh, you're one of these. No, you're one of them. Oh, you believe this. I believe everything, okay? I don't care. I trust the Holy Spirit to lead me into all understanding. You got to worry about yourself, okay? I'll tell you what God tells me, and then you go home and say, God, is he crazy? Ask God. He'll tell you. Ephesians 3:10. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to confess. Ephesians 3:10. I was bouncing around the back of that van, and I was studying about spiritual warfare and putting on the whole armor of God. And by the way, if anyone here does not know that the whole armor of God is God's armor. See, I was deceived for a long time. I thought it was my armor. I thought he made me a set and gave it to me. When you're walking in the armor of God, you put on his helmet. It's a big one. You put on his breastplate of righteousness. You carry his shield, put on his shoes, and you got his sword. You know, when David killed Goliath and later got that sword, that was the sword that he fled from Saul with. You remember that? He asked that priest, "Has you got a weapon in here?" And he said, "No, just this great big one that you took away." "Well, give him that one." See, the flesh came and accused David. "I'm going to kill you." And David, after he knocked him down with that rock, got over on top of him. And by the way, if I ever do this to you, don't panic. If you get slain in the spirit and God says, "Get down there and finish it," I'm going to get down over that spirit and we're going to cut the head off of it. Because that's what David did. After he knocked him down and got that big sword, "We're going to cut his head off, finish the job." So y'all be aware. God may tell you sometime when you're praying for somebody, they fall on the floor under the spirit, you get down over and finish the job and that spirit come out, okay? All right. I'm getting way ahead of myself. I don't mean to. But anyway, I was reading about the armor of God, and my eyes kind of drifted over here to Ephesians 3, and God says, what you experienced this morning, by the way, my wife and I prayed for a whole string of people, and he had told us, usually he tells me about somebody in the audience, this one and that one, da-da-da-da, you know, and sets it up. That morning, he hadn't said a word. I went and I taught on spiritual warfare, and we started praying for folks on that side of my wife and I was going to panic, because God knows if he doesn't go, I'm not going. And if he don't say something, I ain't going to say a word. I'll just stand there and look dumb. Because, I mean, wait a minute, God. This is God's. If it ain't God's, I don't want to do it anymore. Anyway, I started right over there with my wife praying. And as I would take their hand, God would begin to speak exactly what they needed. That morning, not one person spoke a word in request for prayer. But we went right down the row, and the Holy Spirit picked out some of the most unbelievable topics that I would never think to say for anybody and dealt with every one of them. And this Baptist preacher behind me, he was looking over, you know, as we were going down the road. His eyes kept getting bigger and bigger, you know, because he knew these folks. I didn't. There's 20-something of them. Went right down the road and the Holy Spirit addressed it. But you see, it's not me. It wasn't him. It was an appointed time, just like this up here. This is not me. This is not the Millers. It's not this camp. It's an appointed time.
Amen. Amen.
So take advantage of it, okay? To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known, how? By the church, the true church, to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. When God tells you and I what to speak. She talks about the first 6 months of her Holy Spirit life. You wouldn't believe the first 6 months of my Holy Spirit life after 30 years of being a backdoor Baptist. And I was at a Baptist convention when I received the Holy Spirit and got breathed on. Nobody touched me. And I started singing the Spirit and jumping up and down, didn't know what it was. I went around for 6 months, I mean blowing holy holes and everything. I prayed and laid hands on everything that didn't move. I laid a curse on it or blessed it. Do something, God, do something. And I was out of control. Maybe I should have been in the cage, but right, God covers us. And about four weeks ago, I wasn't going to share this, but I'm going to go ahead and do it now. I had a hunger and a thirst inside of me. The first time I was baptized physically in water was when I was 12. And I was told at that time I was being baptized into the church. The church membership. It was a requirement. I wasn't given a choice. And I always kind of, something's in there. I need something. So for months, I kind of, God, how am I going to do this? I'm serving in the office of a pastor. How's the pastor going to get baptized? We hadn't got a baptistry, God. And for months, I want to get baptized. Really, in water, God. And I had friends say, "Oh, that's passed away." And I said, okay. So when I went down to McAllen, I ran into a minister down there, 84 years old, could run circles around most of us. I mean, just back and forth. And I told him, I said, "I'm going to get baptized again." You know. He said, "I got it." He said, "I'm going to baptize you into Christ." I said, "Baptize me into Christ." Man, my spirit leaped. I said, "Into Christ." I said, "This time I want to do it with understanding. I want to know that when Jerry Garner goes under that water, that he's being buried with Christ in his death. And when I come up out, I'm being raised in resurrection power. I want, you know what happens when you understand? I mean, you can memorize this whole thing, word for word. But if you don't understand, you ain't got it. Well, see, I had a lot of things memorized. I had a lot of form and formality. I mean, I led music and I preached and I taught Sunday school for 30 years in the church. I did all those things. But 5 years ago, God came real to me. And 4 weeks ago, the baptism came real to me. And I came back to my church preaching being in Christ and what it really meant. Because, see, years ago, God had said, now the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall rise from the air. He said, that's not dead people. I said, it's not. Who is it? He said, those are dead in Christ. Jerry Garner's dead in Christ. Wow. You mean the old man's going to pass away, really? And I don't have to do all the things that I thought I had to do. I have to stop sinning. I got to get good, come to God. And I was, the other night, we baptized at our church. And we use a swimming pool, by the way. We don't have a baptistry. Outdoors, we baptized 7-4 previous Catholics and 2 Baptists, or 3 Baptists, whatever. And I said, y'all, this water is not magic, and it's not holy. I said, when you step down in here, the baptism's on the inside, and it's going to come out. Something's going to happen. God's going to circumcise your heart. Don't do it because somebody else wants to do it. In fact, I screened them over and over and over. I want to make sure that they knew what they were doing. There was nothing magic about me or that water or that pool, but there was in them, there was something real. There was a desire to know God and be known by Him. Eternal life is to be known by God or know God. And that know in the Greek is intimately. Like Adam knew Eve. You better go read that closely. Eternal life is to know God. Not just know of Him or know about Him or think about Him. To know God. To be a partaker of His divine nature. And then when His Son, Jesus Christ, is revealed, to our amazement, we're going to be like Him. Seems simple, doesn't it? It is simple, y'all. It's very simple. I was going to burst out here and pull this sermon on you that I pulled up in Ohio on this all-black church where Catherine Kuhlman was when she passed away. The people that came out of her ministry formed True Vine Ministries, and I was so excited. And I got up to preach and preach 5 minutes and ran out of what I was going to say. And the preacher's mother got saved that night. Really saved. She'd been a Sunday school teacher for 45 years. But I got so excited because God gave me a little bitty sermon. And I found out you don't have to talk for 2 hours to convince somebody that they're hurting. I mean, they know it. We don't have to tell them they're in sin. They know that. We've got to bring the good news. We've got to testify of Him who sent us, okay? All I did is I stood up and I talked about when Adam and Eve sinned and they'd realize, well, I'm naked. You see, I just realized, hey, I'm clothed in righteousness. But anyway, they sin and realize they're naked. God shows up and they're hiding. And He says, where are you? What's going on? They said, well, we're hiding because we're naked. You know what He said? Who told you you were naked? He's fixing to come back to the church. And He's going to say the same thing. Who told you, church, that you were naked? Where's your robe of righteousness? Now, some of us have got stained ones and we go hide them in the closet because we got stuff on them. Some of us haven't claimed our robe yet. It's still hanging. Because, see, I was taught for years there's none righteous except Christ. They never finished that. And those who are in Him are the righteousness. When I found out I was the hope of glory, I got excited. Do y'all know the mystery of the hope of glory is sitting in this room? All creation's moaning, groaning, looking down here at Lake Hamilton tonight. All the angels going, wow, look, God, they're beginning to understand. They've got to lay down the flesh man and rise up in glory. That's what's going on here. Now, no matter what you came for, it doesn't matter. Whatever the circumstances that brought you, if your wife drugged you, or your kids pushed you, or your mother-in-law threatened you, it doesn't matter. I don't care about circumstances. All I care is about the outcome. And that's that everybody in here receives something from God. If it be one word or just 1 ounce of refreshing, that's all it takes. But I'm going to pray for anybody and everybody. I'll pray from now till next week. And I said that in Ohio. You know what happened? I prayed till 2:30. And the last little lady finally made it to the front. But I didn't care. I didn't feel it at all. I felt fantastic. I slept late the next morning, 9 o'clock. But anyway, we're going to pray for y'all. Please, 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 don't anybody get excited. But if you really can't say in your heart, I'm in Christ, and I know it, don't feel condemnation. Let's just pray about it, okay? And if you have never received that seed of salvation in you, then let's pray, okay? You're not joining the church. Praise Jesus. We're not joiners anymore. We're going to join Him. When you come down here and ask for prayer, just tell me what you need, and we'll pray about it. If it's physical healing, spiritual healing, whatever, let's pray about it.
Blanche is going to help me. Smithy is going to help me. And we're going to help and pray for each other because we love each other. And there's none perfect except Christ Jesus. And praise God, those that are going into Christ. Let's pray. Okay. Father God, in Jesus' name, I ask for your spirit of truth to come and dwell with us. Father, I ask for the Holy Spirit to bathe us in your love. And Father, would you illuminate us in our lives, Father God? There's none here perfect yet. Paul even said he wasn't perfected as yet, Father. So there's no one perfect here. There's no one above anyone else, Father God. Father, I release your spirit of grace and supplication into this room, the spirit of adoption, that every spirit that's here has to cry, Abba, Father, and confess that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Father, may this day be a day of beginnings, and may we, for once and for all, lay to rest that old man and determine our heart, this is the day of my redemption. And Father, I ask that you convict those that have lied to themselves and those that have been lied to, that they cannot be righteous in Christ Jesus, Father. And Father, I just speak liberty. I speak your spirit of peace and love and joy and patience and forbearance and long-suffering. Father, I ask for you to heal marriages. I pray for you to give husbands and wives a true love for each other in Christ Jesus, Father God. And I pray that you establish right relationships within families, Father. Father, rebuke Satan for us away from this place. Father, anoint this place in Jesus' name. Let your mercy begin to flow from this place. Let forgiveness rain down, Father God. Let your spirit dwell in us in this place, Father God. Prepare us to be a sanctuary, a holy sanctuary, with thanksgiving in our heart, Father. We lift this prayer up to you, Father God. Father, I pray that you be with each one here. Minister to our needs. Bathe our wounds, Father God. Give us the ability to forgive and to forget and to love one another as Christ also loves us, Father. In Jesus' name. Sing. Anybody that wants to pray, come on down.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.